Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is December 11. 2019 is done. The decade is done.
Which is so, I still can't really wrap my mind around. This to me was like the most unimpactful decade that I've lived through so far. I just am unimpressed with everything that happened.
Yeah, and what has happened, you know, there's some good things, of course, but what has happened is Trump's ass, which has just destroyed so much shit, you know what I'm saying? And police shootings, and like, it's been a lot of negative things in this these last 10 years, to me, more than positive. It's been a lot
of... It's definitely been a lot of negative, even though this should be the decade. I mean, because Obama got elected in 2008. There should be a decade that we remember in part for our first Black president. But, I mean, just in terms of culture, in terms of music, in terms of movies, to me, it's been, like, the most redundant, least, like... I feel like this is the decade we're going to look back on and see the least, like, real shit. Aside from like the business model of the music industry, and like you said, whatever's gonna come out of here politically, I don't think we're gonna look back at any like big fashion moments. I don't think we're gonna. It was like 2000 to 2010 part two. Like there was no. I feel like there was nothing that was
its own kind of thing.
The remix. Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like it's like the remix. Kind of, it's a perfect way to put it. It was kind of like the remix. And also, I just you know, and this happens, I guess, to everybody. But you know, in you know, you're looking at stuff and you see people talking and you're realizing like, you know, damn, you know, somebody mentions like 2002 or something and you're like, wait a minute, that shit was almost 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, wait a minute.
Well,
like,
I still think the 90s was 10 years ago. Like, I still refer to the 90s as like 10 years
ago. Yeah, like 10 years ago. Meanwhile, it's 20, you know what I'm saying? And you know, it's
Or
yeah,
I'll so. Call something 02 when I mean 2012. Like, I'll say I'll say 04, and what I really mean is 2014.
Yeah.
Like, it was so...
Yeah, like, Jagged Edge and Nelly, you know, them niggas was popping. That's like, now 20 years ago, like...
Yeah, it's crazy.
Damn, that shit was 20 years, so... Yeah, but we'll, you know, we're next week on our, this will be the last show of the year for us. We'll do, like, a wrap-up of the year, and I'm sure, like, maybe a little bit of decade wrap-up stuff, too. We'll kind of get deeper into it. Well, first of all, how y'all doing?
I'm good.
Yeah. You good, bro?
Yeah, all is well.
We're into the winter, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's been some cold days, but it ain't been like the crazy yet. It's been cold.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
We're also into holiday. We're officially in holiday season, which means I'm having to watch all my packages and track them bitches like
grid
damn near because they trying to get the boys out there.
They out there trying to snatch.
Banking time.
Yeah. I don't watch one TV one. Was that a BET Christmas movie? It was a BET Christmas movie. And I liked it. There wasn't no stars in there and shit. There's another one on now about baking cookies on TV one.
Not the one with the Maori girl putting together a gingerbread house?
No. This one is some older lady. I don't need no stars in this one either. Like,
just, maybe that was Lifetime. I saw something was on in the hair salon where a Maori girl was putting together like a gingerbread house. They didn't have the volume on, so I don't really know.
That might be the Netflix show. That might be.
Oh, that might be the Netflix show. Yeah, so I'm about to catch up on all my TV. And then peace and love to our cousin and friend to the show, Reagan Gomez, who got a TV One Christmas movie with Ray J.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that came on Sunday past, but it was football on, so I didn't get a chance to catch it yet. But I will be watching it because I will be watching. I'm watching all. One day I'm gonna knock all these drinks out. With some apple cider and some cookies and shit. I want to give a quick shout to and now I know you wanted you might want to mention this too, but and we mentioned him on the show before. But I want to give another quick shout out to the baby, who's first of all having a phenomenal year. Came out of nowhere. And was on Saturday Live last, you know, Saturday past, and crushed it. Like, just crushed, like, one of the only rappers out now that really looks like they enjoy themselves when they perform, and they really like are giving a show. Like he's dancing, there's drama in the show, there's stage setting, there's blocking. You know what I'm saying? Like he's really giving you a show that you don't really get to see with many people anymore.
Not only enjoys themselves, but understands the importance of performance. Like, so the baby first really got on my radar because of the fight. Because I was like, oh, he can really fight.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember
it being, he had a couple fights, actually.
Yeah. But then I remember it being, well, when he knocked Homeboy out.
Yeah. In the mall.
But I remember BET Awards maybe this year.
Yeah, that's when he did Shug, when he came up with the right. muscle shirt.
Mm-hmm. So I wasn't really paying attention, but I saw the set, like, reminded me of, like, maybe Busta from... Mm-hmm. More dangerous, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh, all right." For so many years, the new rappers, like a Playboi Carti or whatever, have literally just been not even lip syncing over their track; just had their track playing,
and they just walking around,
like whatever. Yeah. They ain't even doing ad libs; they ain't doing shit. Yeah. And there's like there's some girls on the stage. It's some smoke.
Yeah,
it's whatever.
Yeah, it seems like the newer rappers just focus on like. The intro. There's always like a thing when they come out and they maybe come down from the sky, they come up from the floor, whatever they do. But after the intro, there's nothing else. So
But they're also not real rappers. They ain't got no breath control. They ain't got no, whatever. So to see that, I was like, oh, this kid, because obviously I'm already like, it's another baby, whatever. But I'm like, oh, okay, this is like a performance. And he has not disappointed me yet. Like, this song and this video, it makes me mad that there's not a 106 in Park. Like, this shit
is fantastic. It'll be number one on 106 in Park for, like, 19 weeks. Oh, my God.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's fantastic. And then he did the
thing. And he brought the Jabberwockies back.
He did the thing, like, his jet broke down recently.
Yeah. That was crazy. And
he performed via FaceTime. There's established artists who wouldn't give a fuck about that.
Oh, absolutely. They'd have been like, yo, whatever.
Imagine you had to give me back my $50 though.
But you know the only reason it really worked because he was performing to Charlotte, his hometown. Yeah, it's his home.
It's fine.
You're right though. If he was performing to Cleveland, they might have been pissed off. But like he did that because he was
I wouldn't have been pissed off. I would have enjoyed the FaceTime.
And they still got your money.
They still would have to give me back $50.
That ain't what I paid for now.
It's not what I paid for.
Yeah, but now he's great, man. Even like if you watch him on the gram and stuff, like the way he interacts with his fans.
So there's a clip going around right now where this young woman comes into the store.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's going crazy, you know. And he literally jumps into her arms.
Yeah. He's like a child.
Like a kid that just saw his long lost mom. It's the funniest thing, but you get it. You know, he's a guy that gets it. He looks like he's having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem to, how can I say this? He takes himself seriously enough and also doesn't take himself too seriously.
Exactly.
And that's a very, very difficult line to, teeter on, and he's figured it out. So, you know, peace to him, wishing him well. He's definitely having a great fucking year.
And I just want to say one more thing about him, which I've noticed, and I could be overthinking, but like Nas said, there were like early in his career, what about like three fights, he knocked a couple niggas out, his bodyguard knocked him. It was a little aggressive early. But it seems like almost like that's kind of like established him to now be able to kind of do his thing because ain't nobody trying him no more. So now he can kind of be fun because he knows that's not coming because y'all niggas know if that comes, y'all going to get it back. So now we've established it. He still has security and everything. But
it also seems like his team around him is like-minded. Like, I don't know who his managers are, but
they're from North Carolina kids.
Okay, we talked about this on our group chat. Like, even his security on his Instagram is fucking funny as hell. Like, he be clowning the baby, like, in a good-natured way. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I hate this little nigga. You know what I mean? Like, because putting him in all that bullshit.
But I also think that what you see now is also a money difference, right?
True, so true.
What happens is that, yeah, you know, when you out here, you know, taking, you know, $5,000 and, you know, $7,500 to do a feature, and, you know, you might be doing some clubs regionally.
Some raggedy ass clubs too.
You know, you can knock a nigga out in the mall. And it's right? It ain't really, you haven't really crossed over into the I don't want to go back being poor phase, right?
True.
Like now, you're getting the kind of money that establishes you to hire certain people, to have them trained in a certain way, to present a certain way, and really kind of helps you go to that next level.
Yeah, you're getting calls from like the head of the label now.
Yeah,
to your phone directly, like
get it together, right? Yeah,
exactly,
you can't have this.
Yeah, it's dumb shit. Yeah, so yeah, so that's what I just wanted to mention. Like I said, because I enjoy him anyway. I really enjoy his music, and I enjoy everything. And also want to mention, I don't know how much details I guess I'm going to because it hasn't come on TV yet. But I went to the Urban One Honors Awards last Thursday, so it's like a little less than a week ago. Missy got one of the awards. Just wanted to mention it was actually a really well put together show. Apparently, I know this woman who works at TV once. She said I got a lot of camera time because of where I was sitting, but that definitely was not my plan. But it was a really well put together show. It was well done. They had really big people there, big artists and big performers. And I think whenever it comes on TV, I guess sometime this month, I believe. People are going to really enjoy it. It was a really, really good show. So I just wanted to mention that. So let's go on and get into it. First thing I wanted to mention is Brother Nature. Mm. Look at bro. I wish I could see Sean face right now.
I mean,
so Brother Nature, as we know, is this kid. He's from upstate New York. He's in Jersey or upstate New York. I can't remember. I think it's Jersey. Whatever. But he's was known to for kind of communing with nature. We've talked about him on the show before because, bro, I don't think that's really the same deer that
it's
comes.
It's not the same deer, bro. It's not the same deer.
So, anyways, he got famous for doing that, and he's kind of went on to become almost like a young Latino version of Steve Irwin. Like he's traveled around the world and he's always kind of doing stuff with all kind of different animals now. He seems to have a real knack, a thing that animals are attracted to and they're very calm around him. So he's kind of established that. He's like, he's, you know, making some good money and, you know, he's a young guy, probably his mid-20s at the most, and doing his thing. So anyway, he was in Miami last week. I'm not sure why. Maybe Art Basel.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's down there, and he comes into a late night eatery. Well, first, no, let me flip it. So he goes on. It pops up on Twitter and Instagram of this dude like literally beating the shit out of him twice. One time in the parking lot, and one time in the establishment. So people on Twitter and Instagram are going crazy, like, "Oh, it's fucked up. How could you beat up Brother Nature? That's some bullshit. He's all about the peace and the love and who these whack ass niggas whipped his ass and we're gonna get you." And you know, y'all boy Sean King jumped on the thing saying, "Yo, we're gonna find the people that beat you." And he was trending like number one. Like it became a huge thing. Like they beat up this, you know, this peace loving guy. And then well, probably within 24 hours maybe.
Shit. Yeah.
Or less.
About 12.
About six hours later. Some more footage came out and showed that he was, first of all, looked like he was drunk, maybe high, but definitely drunk out of his skull and was the straight up aggressor who just ended up getting his ass beat, because he was just going too hard, threatening people to kill him and all kind of crazy shit. And it was just a trip because it just shows also how quick with social media, how people can will just jump on a little thing and make it a huge narrative without having any real context or information about what's going on. What did y'all think about it?
I mean, people said from the beginning that he had done something to provoke it, but it took a long time for the full video to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't actually care that much. I mean, I didn't. I saw people talking about it. I didn't really chime in on it. I mean, it does seem unusual that he... like talk that much shit because he doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Was. And that seemed like something so much more than just I can't fight. That really seemed like I refuse to fight.
Yeah.
So it really is a very, it wasn't even like he tried to fight back. It seemed like he intentionally decided he wasn't going to fight back. So the whole thing is just kind of confusing to me. But like I said, I also didn't look that much into it.
What'd you think, bro?
I think he got what turned out to be a good old-fashioned ass whooping.
Ass whooping.
You know, all of the whole, they jumped him. I mean, did they really? I mean...
No, it looked like
that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
it looked like you got a fair one shot, my nigga, and you took an L, like a bad one.
That's exactly what happened.
I know you might have thought there were two or three niggas pounding on you at certain points, but the video footage tells us a different story. But listen, even up to this point, we really only see him in. We don't have any audio of the footage.
Yeah.
We can just see the body language from being a bouncer, kind of work, being in nightlife, and being in Miami in the street late at night. Like, I know what that body language means, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you saw was a lot of people... Listen, it's not uncommon for people to fuck with people just because they're online. And I think that most people took the low-hanging fruit, which was to assume... that somebody really kind of had to been fucking with him because this dude has been a personality now for about 2 or 3 years, and he really hasn't had any issues. Yeah, he's been around. Yeah, he hasn't had any issues, not one, not even a little bit. So the assumption was that, okay, you know, this kind of got out of hand, but, you know, look, man, like, you know, I tell people all the time, man, unless you're really ready to fight, like, for real, like a street fight is not for play. My nigga, like, you can die in a street fight, for real.
Yeah, because there's no rules.
There's no rule. I don't fucking know you. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's about to happen. What if that nigga had a knife and pulled... I'm just saying, when you... And listen, I understand I'm saying this as an old bull and not a young bull, right? But, like, there's a level of getting home and walking away...
Yeah,
and figuring out a way to save your pride. Like, this could have went very, very wrong. Like, really, very, really wrong. You know what I'm saying? And so, listen, if all he got out of this was his pride being damaged and he got ass whooping.
A little cut lip or something. You know,
listen, I believe what dude is saying because Brother Nature has gone dark. He has not refuted. He hasn't refuted. Anything that's being said about what took place, I think he wants it to go away. He was also with a young lady friend who I don't know how that worked out after you got your ass. That's a little, you know.
I'm calling somebody a young lady friend will literally never explain to me.
Yes, that's, you know, keeping time, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
So
him and his little friend.
Yeah, his little, you know, took out to get a little late night snack. But here's the thing. So what I've learned over the years is that when you have certain access, use it, right? Like,
yeah,
you don't need to be at the spot where people are, you know, the random regular people are eating because. You have
at access, 4 a.m. or whatever.
You have access and you can afford to go to a place that you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, go back to the hotel and order some room service.
Go to the hotel. Go, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's plenty of spots in Miami.
Don't be a dick. Go get your shit and break out.
Well, I will say I'm going to give him a slight benefit of the doubt in that.
Like,
we don't,
people like to come
Yes, out people. Now, was he being the aggressor? Sure, based on the video. But I'm saying I don't know what was said prior to that or what was intimated prior to that. Again, this dude is out all the time. He's never had this sort of problem. Right? Like, so my guess is that, you know, it's just like if you guys heard I got into a fight, it's kind of a, let me hear what happened. You know, let me hear both sides of what took place.
Yeah, because I'm really excited to swing on niggas randomly.
Yeah, niggas, you know what I'm saying? Like, I come on, man. And like, dude, like, again, you in Miami, you in the street, it's late at night, like, my nigga, this could have went 100 ways bad.
Way worse. Way worse. Way worse. So, yeah. So, go take your licks and go on home. Let's mention, I want to mention next, I want to hold down for a little bit. I want to mention Juice WRLD, who died this week, 21 years old, seemingly to be an overdose of Percocet. I really like, as an artist, I think I've mentioned
him or complications due to
Percocet. Allegedly. Well, I'll get to it. So, like, I mentioned him on the show before. He's actually, like, out of kind of, like, the new super young crop of artists. He's, like, really talented. Like, he could sing a little bit. He could play guitar. He obviously could rap. Like, he could rap. Like, there's videos of him, like, on maybe on Flex even, on a couple of places, like, freestyling, like, off the dome for, like, 15 minutes straight. Like, the man, he was really, really talented, and had made a real impact with the youth. His subject matter was definitely about, you know, a lot of drug usage, mental health, depression. But he was, you know, really talented kid, man. It was awful to hear what happened to him. So apparently he was coming back. I don't remember what you say he was coming back from, but he was coming back from doing some shows or something, and had the pilot. Once they either got on a plane or took off soon after, the pilot called the authorities because the pilot saw them with guns on the plane. And even on a private plane, you're not supposed to have guns because if, you know, one goes off and it pops, it's dangerous. So
they still have to, just even if you fly private, you still have to adhere to federal aviation.
Exactly. Just because you want a PJ, you walk on with AK-47. It's like, what are you doing? So the pilot saw them having all this weaponry, and so he called the authorities to wait on them when they got back. So when they got back to Chicago, where Juice WRLD's from, the authorities were waiting on them. They had 70 pounds of vacuum sealed marijuana. So it wasn't even like it was just some big old garbage bag. It was, you know, they bought that from somebody who sells marijuana, like, professionally, you know? They had the guns, which were, of course, all illegal. And they had a lot of pills on them, like Percocets and some other things, too. So, in a panic, again, according to the stories, Juice WRLD starts to swallow all the Percocets because he's scared that, you know, that with the cops waiting on him, that if he gets caught with the pills, they'll go to jail or whatever. Which, well, I don't know why he wasn't think they wasn't going to jail anyway with the guns and, you know, the 70 pounds of weed. But he swallows the pills, and then while they're doing the search and search of the plane, he has a horrible seizure at the airport and dies at the, you know, kind of dies. By the time they even got him into the ambulance, they said he pretty much was gone. But what did y'all think about the story in general?
Well, sorry, I was on mute. I think it's tragic, first of all. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's first and foremost. I think it's tragic. I think the other thing is just that it's unnecessary. And what's sad is that you have kids. I feel like this is kind of what I saw happen on a lesser extent, but still a tragic extent, with Bobby Shmurda and Rowdy and the GS9 kids. You have these kids who come from a certain lifestyle and they have this really rapid ascent, and people think you can just walk away from that shit. It's not quite that easy. Mm-mm. And if you don't have people positioned around you to help you, like, if everybody around you is part of the same shit you've come from, mm-hmm, it's even harder. And it seems like that was what was going on with Juice and Bibby. I could be wrong, but, like, that's...
No, we know Bibby. I mean, no, I don't think it's a secret that Bibby, especially, like, you know, he came with Chief Keef and all them, and them, you know, right, dudes is, you know, wild with them, not kids like they used to be, but they, like, right, they get it in for real in Chicago, so... Yeah. And Juice is his first cousin, so, like, he's...
Right.
He grew up there, too, you know?
So it's hard when everybody around you, you know, back in the day, I feel like they exist less, and Sean can probably speak to this. There used to be road managers who knew how to move. If your artist wanted to be knuckleheads, they at least knew how to move to keep you as safe as possible and to lower your risk of exposure. And it seems like that's not the case anymore. I don't know, Sean, that might be something.
I think the problem here is that everyone is young.
That's what I was going to say. His role manager probably 23.
Everyone is young. And so, you know, look, I don't think they understand. It's very difficult to tell a kid who comes from an environment like that. And by environment like that, I mean, you know, they're burying friends at, you know, 14 years old, 15 years old. You know, death is really kind of right around the corner. It's very difficult to sell them long-term goals.
Yeah.
It's like everything is right now. They have to live in the right now. They don't. Because the first thing I said was, why would these niggas take that on a plane and not a bus? Like, there's so many different ways that that could have been done. That
and they probably feel like the bus is beneath them because they don't get it.
Yeah, well, that's what I was about to allude to, right? Like, the PJ is more alluring.
Yeah.
Because it's fly.
And it's the fly shit.
Pictures and we could do all the IG shit, right? Except it puts you at such a greater risk for what you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But only, you know, it's just, I keep referring to being an old dude. You know, I remember hearing a saying, you know, young men are for war, old men are for counsel. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that these guys have anybody that isn't necessarily just, I don't mean just in age, but I just mean in maturity. You know, taking guns on an airplane, my nigga, like there's so many levels to this going terribly wrong.
Yeah. And how did you think, again, being young, why did you think that the pilot wouldn't call somebody?
But dude, well, here's guns my on thing. My plane, it's bro. Not, again, it's not even like you driving, right? So the nigga, the pilot could take you anywhere, nigga. You are 70,000 feet in the air. Ain't like you know he turned left. He made left at Albuquerque, nigga, and circled back. You have no idea.
Yeah,
you have no idea. Your hands is literally, your life, everything is in the hands of that pilot, dude.
True, yeah.
So, yes. And I think that, here's the other thing. I think that pilots let certain shit go.
Yeah, a little weed or something, a couple of shits,
whatever. Listen, they might have let a pistol go.
Yeah.
They might have, I think it was the combination of everything
that
made the pilot say, yo, I gotta say something here also because I gotta cover my ass. And
Because I'm basically transporting all this shit.
Absolutely, dude.
You asking me to fly 70 pounds of weed.
So, yeah, like I'm amazed at that and God bless him. And this is also what I mean by being young, right? Because okay, dude, they caught you with you already looking at federal time,
yeah.
You know, transporting, having so you guys are looking at easily. You're looking at probably about 6 or 7 federal charges.
Yeah,
them 70 pills, my nigga.
Yeah,
was not going to be the difference. Okay, so now you got sentenced to 108 years instead of 100.
Like you was in trouble regardless.
They were terrible, and I feel really bad. But this is. You know, sort of what's happening is, you know, these kids, man, they're hurting, man. Like, it looks like they are really reeling and hurting and suffering from various issues that aren't even really being properly diagnosed or identified.
No, they're not. What happens is they're getting, you know, a kid like Juice WRLD, he's 21, he's a child to me. A kid like Juice WRLD, like, he's from what I've read, he's had, you know, issues with like depression and you know, stuff like that previous to the music, previous to him getting on. He's only 21 as it is. He was in high school 4 years ago, right? So he's been kind of on that path anyway. So now you take that path, you dump a ton of money on him because he was streaming a ton of records. He wrote all the records. His publishing was crazy. So he's got a ton of money, right? And you give him all this money, but there's no one's dealing with his issues at all. So now he just escalates, you know, the whatever medication that he might have been on when he was a 14-year-old kid, he just escalates it now because all the bread he's got. So now it's 70 pills, like you said, and pounds of weed and all that other shit.
I think that it is going to be a responsibility of this industry to begin to do what occurs with the NFL and NBA and some of these other leagues, which is really start to do some sort of symposiums as these kids come on and do some sort of, I don't want to say, what's the word I'm looking for? Not intervention, because that may be the wrong word. But
like I said, but like, it's like counseling and guidance.
They need some help, man. They need some help. And it's very difficult because, and I'm going to just be honest, man, they walk into the labels, right? And they no longer see faces like you, Jeff, and Naima. Right.
They're seeing a bunch of white cats.
You know, Ezra with the beard and the man bun.
Yeah.
Okay, is now his A&R.
But the other problem is that
that's real.
Labels don't invest in artist development anymore, right?
Yeah,
so they're not the same level of getting to establish a rapport between the people who work your project. That probably is the biggest downfall, aside from just cultivating singles and not full talent. One of the biggest pitfalls to this whole streaming, SoundCloud, data analytics driven era of music is the fact that you lose the fact that you are talking about a person, and the ascent is meteoric and is really rapid, and the fall can be just as rapid. Mm-hmm. And like you guys said, these kids have other kids around them instead of somebody experienced around them to actually help walk them through this. And even when you try, these motherfuckers think they know everything. There's also that. I might have told this story on here before. That if not the day before, then 2 days before, but I think it was the day before GS9 got popped, I had a long conversation with Rowdy about how he needed to change some shit up.
You did talk about that.
He expected to actually have a career. And he was listening. You know what I mean? And he was listening, but like, somebody has to be the person that these artists will trust to sit down and have that conversation, because they're not going to listen to the white 24-year-old who, for some reason, is the head of the whole entire digital department.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, absolutely not. And the label heads are not giving them that conversation.
No.
You know what I'm saying? The label heads are like, hey, what do you need? And da 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 da. But it ain't like no real intervention. Again, I've said this before. This is one of the many pitfalls and consequences of not having black music divisions, because years ago, you know, with Columbia, Epic, whoever had black music divisions within the company, so obviously the black artists were under that umbrella, and they had their own budgets and they had their own everything. They operated almost kind of as a separate entity within the label. And, you know, so many artists, you know, who we know, like, nowadays, you know, like a Brandy or a Tevin Campbell kind of came through those incubators. So, like we're saying, so, like, when shit like that would happen, it was all black people around those kids.
Right.
You know, who could talk to them and be like, what are you doing, boy? Get your ass in this office. Let me talk to you.
Let me say this, too.
Diana Williams to come talk to them or somebody. Yeah.
There was also a different dynamic.
Absolutely.
In that. There was no deference to those kids because they were stars.
Absolutely not. You're still 16, boy.
Like, for real.
Who the fuck are you talking to?
I'll say this. There's a reason why, even to the, like, you know why nothing ever happened to that Soul Train motherfucker? Because they respected Don Cornelius.
Absolutely.
Right? They respected Don Cornelius. Yeah. Like, for real, respected. Like, all the wild shit that you saw afterwards and later on was not happening in that building. I promise you, my nigga. I was at several award shows, and when he came through, it was quiet.
It was part in the Red Sea.
Nigga, for real.
Yeah. Plus, Don was a big dude.
Being about 6'4 with fucking, you know, baseball mitts his hands,
definitely
didn't hurt.
Yeah.
Being able to show your presence. But what I'm saying, even guys like Suge, even like guys who you normally wouldn't process as being that kind of a dude, understood that there was a level of deference when, you know, dude, you know, Kenny Gamble, you know, like those guys walk into a room, there's a certain level of respect.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And there's just a ton of other, they have no clue. They don't have those relationships. And like you said, I think because the labels are so divided. Because before, you also used to go out, you would go out with your label mates.
Yes.
Radio runs. You do promo runs together. So, like, I vividly remember being out with Busta, and it was always Gerald LaVert, because he was on Elektra. You know what I'm saying? So when you went and did your rounds, like, yo, they would be doing the R&B rounds of whatever the hip-hop rounds you guys were doing.
Yeah.
You'd be at shows, and you'd see, you know what I'm saying? So there was some camaraderie there. And I just think these kids are isolated. They're kind of put in their own bubble. They're doing 100,000 shows a day. There's no time to process anything because they got to get it right now.
Yep. Yeah. So it's and the other thing I just wanted to mention on this is, like, I saw a few people online kind of trying to spin this thing as to, like, oh, it's about the war on drugs. And I saw a thing on TMZ. A Juice WRLD family said that he was targeted, racially profiled. I'm like, it's not really going to fly in this case when you had 70 pounds of weed, like bags of pills and a bunch of illegal guns. Like, that's not really racial profiling. That's like, y'all niggas was breaking the law. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how, you know, obviously I'm not sitting here saying that there's no racial profiling or that racism doesn't exist or whatever, but like, y'all brought it to your front doorstep. Like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, but again, that's being young. Yeah. And not understanding any consequences of what you're doing, you know? The next thing I wanted to mention was, did y'all see, what's it called? Real Housewives this week?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, did you watch it? You watched it too, right, bro?
I didn't hear what you said.
Watch Real Housewives?
Oh, yeah, I watched
it. First you said, what you call them?
I did say what you call them. I ain't gonna lie. What'd y'all think about the show?
I think Kenya Moore is fucking horrible.
Yeah.
She's horrible. Like, she's horrible.
As soon as you try to, like, start to feel a little bit of, like, empathy for her, like, she does
this. No, like, I almost, like, again, the first episode back, I was almost like, all right, Kenya's gonna try to act like a grown-up. And now she's right back to the bullshit. And I do not rock with Marlo at all. Mm-hmm. But for those listeners who don't watch, Marlo, because she be trying so hard to keep a relevant storyline, bless her heart. They never gonna give her a peach. But Marlo had a wig line debut.
Yes.
That looked like it was thrown together.
Yeah.
Whatever.
About 9 people there.
Yeah. And like with 7 wigs or something. And what's her name? Kenya comes with like somebody, like a 2-piece band and a little cheering section to promote Kenya Moore hair care. Who does that?
Yeah, that was like, why are you so doing this?
And so ridiculous.
Yeah, it was foul. It was foul. It was
super foul. Who thinks that's so? And then when Marlo gets security to escort her out, Kenya's like, don't try to do me. That's my move. Because Kenya has had a security escort people out of her events. So it's like, if that's your move, then you know that's within Marlo's right to take your tacky ass and escort you up out of there.
Yeah, it was whack.
Like, how'd you think that was going to go?
It was whack. It was awful. It was like, I was like kind of shocked. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this shit? Like, it was awful. I ain't like that at all. And also just wanted to mention, you know, I don't want to kind of like, you know, like trying to like kind of turn into like a, the whole Todd and his daughter thing, just really like his daughter's countenance was very just like, it just kind of threw me off. She's so like
blah
and down,
like,
and
very flat. She's her affect is very flat, like her eyes, like her face, there's no emotive. She doesn't emote like at all,
nothing.
And even and like no matter what she's talking about, it's flat, and it's like she's joyless, soulless. Like, that's what makes me concerned about her. Because I'm like, what is going on with this girl? And when it comes to her dad, she almost just seems like it's almost an annoyance.
Constant annoyance. Yeah, it was, and you know, we don't know all the ins and outs of it, but obviously Candy definitely looked, you know, uncomfortable, but obviously has seen this before, you know, this kind of interaction with them before. And I think she's just kind of like resigned to like, I've tried and this nigga's not really like changing and I don't know what else to do here. But like, I do feel like Candy's a bit concerned about her because she's like I said, she's so flat and she's so blah and she's so just, you know, this, you know, and Todd mentioned that they, something happened and they didn't speak, or his daughter actually mentioned something happened and he didn't speak to her for like a month, which is like, dude, like 30 yeah. days? Like,
I don't know. I can't
and
wrap
he's
my
just
head
like, yeah, that. I was mad at her or some shit. Like, come on, man.
A month?
Listen, man. Like, I couldn't wrap my head around that, like, at yeah. all. Yeah. Because I've been upset with my children. I am not about to make it seem
ain't no way not to be.
Yeah, like, I've been upset with them, okay? And I'm still calling to check in.
Of course.
Yo, where you at? You okay? Yeah. You know what's going?
I'm like, still pissed off, but like,
like you still on my shit list. Mm-hmm. But I love you, and I'm never not here for you. Yeah, like exactly. That is such. I couldn't imagine having anyone in my life that I love with that level of intimacy, right? Like as a parent child, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and be simply snatched. You know, like just them be completely secluded for a month. And to me, like, was your issue even resolved? Was this was just being sequestered for 30 days? Like, you didn't yeah. actually address whatever the issue was that would have gotten you upset. And also, man, like, as the adult, like, you just don't get 30 days to be upset with your kid.
Yeah, 30 days, like a month. Like, who knows what could have possibly happened?
I mean, dude, unless you're telling me she fucking burned down the house and blew through your checkbook.
Or but even that. Like, it's still 30 days.
I just can't imagine. I'm just saying, even the worst of the worst cases of yeah. scenarios just yeah. doesn't allow me to process being checked out like that. I think that is also a byproduct of, you know, having so many years where that level of communication might have been normal.
Yeah, so it's easy for him to check out because he picked up for years anyway.
Yeah, so it would be, you know, and I'm not trying to paint him as, like, you know, some dad that's, like, you know, a fucking deadbeat or not around, but, like, when you don't live with your kid...
I mean, although...
I'm just saying, when you don't... And this isn't shots to people that don't live with their kids because I understand that there's circumstances that are beyond mm-hmm. your control. That means that you don't live with your children.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I think that it is easier for you to check out and not speak to your kids. Even like, dude, like a nigga might go 4 or 5 days without speaking to his kid if you don't live with them.
Yeah. 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 30 though.
Jeez. 30 days? Like, my nigga, I can't even, like, nigga, Thanksgiving wasn't even 30 days ago. Like, that's how long.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, and matter of fact, we like 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving, from it being a month from Thanksgiving.
That's what I'm saying. Imagine you ain't spoken to your child since Thanksgiving. Like, what? Like nothing? No contact? No text? Then send a text, nigga. Like, something, you know? So it's kind of like we've seen, like, in the past couple of weeks, like, the kind of dichotomy between the way, you know, Riley and Ace for now are being raised and the way he's dealing with his damn, I can't remember the name of his oldest daughter. I'm sorry, but the way he's dealing with his oldest daughter, it's like.
Oh wait, you mean the oldest one? What's her name? Is her name Kayla or something like that?
Yeah, so Kayla, I think it is. Yeah, right. And like it's like a reservoir between how she's being raised and dealt with, and the way the ones that are still living at home with him and Candy are being raised and dealt with. It's just like
let me just say this.
And again, I understand she doesn't live there, so it's not gonna be the same, but.
Like, yeah, I think that you know, one of the things that I think is important as a parent too is I think every child is different, and I think every child needs to be treated accordingly.
Absolutely.
And what I mean by that is I treat my children fair. I don't treat them equally.
Well, they're not the same person.
That's my point, right? Like, yeah. So I think that even when you understand traits of your children. Mm-hmm. Like what drives them and what moves them and what can shake them and what can hurt them. Like you understand how to deal with them in various ways. I think he does this, mm-hmm. I'm going to make you tough thing because I think he feels like she's going to have a hard road. And I think
he said, I was trying to make you tough, kid. And I'm sorry to interrupt, Sean, but that touched on something with me because that used to be my stepdad's thing. He felt like my mom's side of the family and their tendency to, like, be very nurturing and provide, like, a safe place to land and stuff was not realistic because he left home on 18 and he was on his own from 18 on. So his thing was always, like, he was trying to get me off the teeth or whatever that meant. But that's not always effective. Like, that didn't even work for him. Like, you came out like an emotionally stunted person. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think
that's a hard road for anybody. Yeah,
like, that tough love shit, that ain't it.
It don't cut for everybody. And I think that oftentimes older children get the brunt of that. I think that parents don't really see their ways. Like I remember my mom and my older sister, who were only 18 years apart, having these real battles. And I remember my mom and my sister, who's right under her, having that same tension. My sister, who is only, who's 10 years older than me, we didn't have that. I think my mother realized that maybe this doesn't work, right? Like, and so we didn't have the same.
We changed the stuff.
Yeah, so we did. Now listen, we had it easy. You know what I'm saying?
It wasn't no cakewalk.
Yeah. But I definitely noticed a very different parenting style with me versus with my sisters and versus with even with just my sisters. Just the three of them would be parenting different.
That's a valid point. You said maybe, like you said, he's going hard on her because I don't know what it is. And again, I'm not saying.
I also think he just doesn't know how to do anything differently at this point. Like, I did know that when she was calling him out on stuff, the fact that he was able to say, "I didn't realize I was doing that. I apologize for doing that. I can do better." I'm guessing that's already like a big step of progression
for him.
Yeah, that's a lot of growth because a lot of men will just be like, "Nah, you be all right." And I'm guessing
whatever.
A long time to get to that.
Yeah.
But the fact that when she walked away, she was still like, "I love you too, but whatever," suggests to me that they still ain't.
I'm gonna tell you what that suggested to me. That nigga's going in a home the moment she can put him in a home. Right now, nigga, you better get ready for Shady Pies because you will not be in the living room in that hospital bed with Kayla.
With no visitors.
Yes, nigga. That oxygen tank gonna be somewhere else,
word,
nigga.
Word. Shit. Oh, shit. I wanted to bring up, I don't know if you want to kind of take this one. I want to bring up Lizzo. So, I mean, I'll preface it by saying, and I've mentioned her on the show before, I'm biased because, I know her, she's on the Atlantic, and we spent a little time together, and I really like her, so I'm a little biased, but, bottom line is she is super talented, and
she's
had an amazing year, capped off with, I saw today, being named Entertainer of the Year for Time Magazine, and I'm sure she's going to win some Grammys, and everything else that's been happening to her in this last, 12 to 14 months has been incredible. And it's been like a thing, again, it's always online, but it's been a thing. It's been kind of festering for a minute where some black folks are kind of saying that they don't, first of all, they started with them saying that they didn't feel like her music was black enough. Like, it felt like her music was pop-leaning and not black enough, so they don't really connect with her music. And that's kind of morphed into, because Lizzo has this thing where she shows her body off a lot. She's a heavy set girl, full figured, whatever the correct term.
Your proper phrase is.
I'm gonna keep it old school. Heavy set guy. You big boned. You know what I'm saying? but she shows her body off a lot, and she's not ashamed to show her body on the gram or whatever. And so there's been some fat shaming going on with her, kind of undercurrent of fat shaming with her too, which is also morphed into now. She went to a Lakers game 2, 3, 4 days ago, recently, in the last week, and she wore like this thong thing, and she was, twerking.
But she didn't just wear a thong thing. She wore a t-shirt dress with the ass cut out.
With the ass cut out, yes.
With the ass cut out. And there were like two strings that hung in the middle where a thong string would be. So it was like a very deliberate outfit.
Totally deliberate.
It took
deliberate.
A minute to even recognize what was happening. I was like, did she pull her pants down? Like, how did she? Because it was clear that she just turned around and her ass was out. And I couldn't see from the, well, from the, what happened was the camcorder, as they like to catch celebrities.
Yeah.
And as soon as she realized she was on camera, she turned around
yep.
and started twerking, and her ass was out, and the camera cut away from her so fucking
quick. So quick.
And it took them, because it was so quick, I couldn't even realize, like, how she had her ass out so quick. And then I saw a picture later that I think she had posted to stories of her walking through.
You're walking through the tunnel.
Like, the back area of Staples. Mm-hmm. Then you could see what she had on.
Yeah, and this caused a huge controversy, across the board, because people were like, "Oh, like how could she do that?" And she's, exposing herself, and da 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 da. And then there were other people on the other side.
Yeah, like, there were kids there, which is bullshit.
There were kids there, whatever. And then there was the other side, which was don't fat shame her, and she's proud of her body, and don't talk shit about her, because if she was slim doing that, y'all wouldn't say that, and so on and so on. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to set it up. But what y'all think about this?
So here's the thing: there are multiple things going on with Lizzo, and Negroes don't know people, not even Negroes. People do not know how to have yes and multiple things are true conversations anymore. They conflate points, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Lizzo is very talented. Her music is great. And yes, people are overly critical of things with her because she is a darker skinned, heavier Black woman and doesn't look like what folks think a comfortable, fun, kind of out there, kind of racy pop star should look like, because I've never seen complaints about Rihanna, who has never been an R&B star ever, 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 ever. She went from being a dancehall star to a pop star. She's always branded as a pop star.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen that complaint. And she also does some too much sometimes. Like, that's the thing. And I think that's the problem, is like, there are some people who have legitimate criticisms of shit Lizzo does, like, going off on the Uber, on the Postmates driver.
Oh, yeah. So
I get it. Yeah. Or the 100% that bitch line straight have coming from somebody else, and that being the thing that kind of broke Lizzo. Or having your ass cheeks out at the fucking Staples Center on a random ass weeknight.
On a Wednesday.
Yeah, like, and putting your bare ass on the seats of the Staples. Like, I do not, and people are like, oh, but Beyonce had ass cheeks out. Yeah, for a fucking photo shoot, as has Lizzo plenty of times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cheerleader, the scantily clad. Cool. I do not necessarily expect unannounced surprise ass crack coming from the stands on the Jumbotron unexpectedly. It has not, but the people who are like, oh, their kids did, that's bullshit. All that doesn't matter. You can say yourself, I have a problem with it.
I'm gonna push back a little bit on that. I think a lot of it was kids there is rooted in people not liking her.
That's what I'm saying.
But I also think that that's a valid point. Like, we have to understand that those arenas and those NBA games are specifically, like, they sell family packages. Like, the whole goal is for you to come with your family. That is that's the whole point, is for you to have the kids to come in to, basically usher in the next generation. So, listen, do I think that a fucking 12-year-old boy sitting, in the stands that saw a naked ass, that's the first time you saw a naked ass? I know it's not if he got an iPhone. Okay, my nigga.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm positive if it is the first time and he has an iPhone, he's doing it wrong. But like, I think that there is a little, I understand why people would say that, because listen, whether we are prude or not, or whether we think something is appropriate or not, isn't really our place to say for an arena, 60,000 people, but 30,000 people
right.
in an arena. It's just not, to me, it was a lot. It was a lot extra, and I get
it. But to your point, the people making most of the people making pearl-clutching, public decency, oh, the horror-level comments, but it's really probably more about her being a bigger girl.
But also,
right?
But here's my issue, though, because...
But we've also said that skinny people would attack you for having their ass.
The lady sitting in fucking 200, you know, in the 200s in row Z, okay, she ain't even getting in the arena with her ass out. And ain't nobody gonna tell me different. Lizzo was able to do that because she was sitting courtside because of the access that she had, and they allow her to come in. Like, come on, man. Nobody saw her ass out the whole fucking time she was walking in. Like, give me a fucking break.
My ass sweated tight about it. No.
Either way, and listen, it's also not the end of the world, okay? That your fucking kid. So, you know, it's a thong, dude. Like, it's not, you know, it's not like she had a titty out.
Yeah. This is my thing, and I'm not going to keep it specific to the game, but it's just interesting to me that there's a lot of, like I said, you know, fat shaming on Lizzo and why is she wearing that. And I'm talking about the game. This woman in general, there's a lot of that goes on with her. And she does wear some stuff. You know, sometimes it's definitely over the top, and it's a lot, and it's provocative for sure. But...
And I think that's intentional.
No, it's absolutely intentional. But Megan, who I also really like, well, there's a lot of provocative shit too, but Megan is not obviously built like Lizzo physically. And so she kind of gets like, oh, she's just being sexy all the time.
Well, in fairness, people have been asking Megan to step her style and game up.
Well, that's because it's kind of basically the same outfit.
Also,
because she looks like she's just pulling some shit out the back of her closet. Like, people have been asking her to do something more than just have her cheeks and her titties out.
Yeah, but when she does have her cheeks and her titties out, and she is doing that, it is at a show. It is at... She does not dress what I would perceive as, you know, inappropriate in those settings. She's not at the fucking Rock Nation signing with her ass out. Right? Like, I'm just saying, like, there is a time and place. There's a time and place for you to do all of that shit. Okay? Mm-hmm. And if I take my kids to a beach, then I'm going to expect that. If I take
it is what it is. Yeah.
Like, dude, nobody's expecting that at a basketball game. You know what I'm saying? Like, no one is expecting that. And to think that a stadium of 20-something thousand people, you wouldn't have some detractors to feel like, yo, that's a little much. Like, yeah, dude, that is a little much.
Yeah.
And here's another thing too. And I like Lizzo, and I think that I think her music is judged and critiqued differently and harshly because she is not the quintessential black woman crying about a man. If her music was, you know, this gut-wrenching soul, where she was talking about being abused, being a rider, excuse me, and all that other shit, it'd be perfectly fine. The reason that it's not viewed as, you know, not black enough is because she's not doing what we have traditionally thought, not just black women, but particularly a black woman who looks like her is supposed to do. Okay, she's having fun and she's doing all this fun shit. Okay,
and she's doing anthems. She's doing doing liberal anthems that people expect to come from. Yes. I don't know.
People are being harsh. Exactly. People are being harsh. Now, there are times to me, like I think we all can agree that she does a lot, and it's becoming increasingly often. And then there is this "what did I do" thing that happens afterwards.
That's and my I problem. Like, disingenuousness.
I feel like she tends to sort of hide behind her defenders who are trying to make sure that she's not being, you know, fat shamed or bullied, and they kind of come to her aid. But I also feel like she uses that as a shield for when she's being called out for legitimate criticisms.
But I'm also like, if you're doing shit because you want to stir up some shit, and then you stir up some shit.
That's what I was saying.
You wore your ass out to the Staples game because you wanted people to talk about you wearing your ass out to the Staples
game.
Come on. Now, talking about you wearing your ass out to the Staples game.
Dude, if she was on the strip, if she had her ass out at Wet Willie's or whatever the young kids do in Miami these days, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is not a thing. This isn't a thing, my nigga. This is not a thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know why she would then take it's like I said on the text. Either you give a fuck or you don't give a fuck. And guess what, man? It's okay to care about what people think about you. Like, I'm not one of those people that, you know, I don't give a fuck what nobody thinks and I do what I want to do.
That's not even real. That's not even real.
And so you're an artist. If it impacts you what people think about you, then yeah, you might want to make some advice asking you to not be yourself. But like, my nigga, can you put some pants on? You put some pants on. Some tights, you know, ain't no yoga pants
in front of my salad. You know, let me go put the ass out in front of my salad. Girl.
I think she was also a little litty. I think that.
She was definitely lit.
The drinks was flowing.
And yeah, before they got there.
Yes. Oh, yes. She was definitely pre-gaming.
Yeah. No doubt. I don't mention this. Harvey Weinstein. He struck a $25 million deal with his accusers today.
47.
It was actually 47, but whatever 25 minus 47 is what is that? 22 will be cover legal costs. And that settlement also means that all the civil suits against Weinstein and the Weinstein personally and the Weinstein company will be dismissed. So it's set up so there's 18 victims splitting $6.2 million. No individuals getting more than $500K, and there's $18.5 set aside for those in the class action cases and anybody and future claimants, which means that they already know there's more women coming. This money's being paid out via his company, not via his personal bread. So what y'all think about this?
How is it coming out via his company when he's not part of the company anymore?
Well, so
insurance companies representing the Weinstein company are shelling out the money.
Yes. I think it's all bullshit. I mean, ultimately what we have here is a company that is not held accountable
at all
on record. I mean, they are held accountable financially because I'm sure this will impact their their ability to be insured, I would assume so. I'm not sure that it will stop them from being insured. But yes, look, I'm not one of those women. I can't stand here and tell you that they should have gone to trial. I can't sit here and be in their shoes. If this is the closure that they needed, if this is the closure that helps them, then far be it for me to be judgmental about that. What I do know is that this raggedy fucking piece of shit gets to walk. He has ultimately not spent a fucking night in jail. He has repeatedly tampered with his ankle monitor. Nothing has happened to this man. Nothing other than the public shame of being a raggedy, awful fucking human piece of shit that he, it's fascinating to me that the layers of this, and listen, let me also say this. This is your lawyer's job, right?
Like, yeah.
This is what your lawyers are supposed to do. They're supposed to protect you. They're supposed to keep you out of prison. They're supposed to do everything within their power to circumvent you going to jail. So, they did everything. They died on every I and crossed every T. But this is awful because this company and the culture that I wouldn't even just say permeated this company, but the culture that this entire shit sort of festered into that industry is really sad, man, that no one is really held accountable. There's nobody's name attached.
Yeah, it keeps going.
Yeah, there's nobody's name attached to this as a person that has been, you know, and look, I know what we're going to get. We're going to get all of the What About R. Kelly think pieces.
Of course.
I'm good on those.
Rob don't got this type of bread, so he...
Well, Rob also, I mean, this is a completely different set of circumstances, but you can't tell that to someone who doesn't have an idea of nuance and context, right? So it is what it is. But yes, I think Harvey Weinstein getting to keep his personal money and going
and never having to admit wrongdoing.
never having to admit wrongdoing, never having a record, being mm-hmm. able to be, to do whatever he wants to do, to go wherever he wants to go. And basically, this motherfucker rides off into the sunset.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me, man?
And you know what's going to happen? Next year, he'll have a movie at the Oscars, and motherfuckers will act like, you know, give him a standing ovation and say how he, you know, he's back. No. Or maybe not, though.
I don't think with him. Not with him.
No, he's going to be a pariah. He's going to be a pariah to see right now. And this is what happens, right? You start to rehabilitate slowly but surely, and you start with your family. So right now, he's a pariah to everyone. He's probably living in wild isolation in comparison.
Yeah.
And as this goes further and further along, and he begins to, you know, acquire, or he can still access his wealth, he can still, mm-hmm. you know, access a few things here and there, it'll start with the family. Mm-hmm. And in a couple of years, he'll be at somebody's Christmas party. And then yeah. in a couple of years, he'll be back at the country club.
Yeah.
And while he may not ever be back into Hollywood's good graces, and he may not ever be back as the old Weinstein, he is going to be afforded the ability to buy back a piece of his life that he shouldn't yeah. be able to have.
Absolutely. And like I said, and meanwhile, these women went through hell. And yes, you know, 500K is a nice chunk of cash, but is it worth what he did to them? You know, come on, man.
And I think that I think that there's a misconception that when people settle like this, that there is some sort of they just wanted the money, and that's not really the case. And I think that what people don't understand is that I'm not even sure on the ins and outs of if this could have been a trial. Right. But if this could have been a trial, like, are you ready to expose your entire life, your entire right. sexual like, history, your entire intimate history? Like, yeah. are you ready to be on the front page? Turmoil, the emotional.
How long it might last.
Yeah. And some lawyer up there just talking about what you did when you were 17 and, you know, all the way up to
now. What you did, like what you did last week. Oh, well, we found, you know, three yeah. people that said you gave them blowjobs in the bathroom. Or some shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know what
yeah,
I'm saying? Exactly. Now yeah. that shit is.
There being no guarantee that justice is going to come of that, right?
Still,
so
yep.
for these women, for so many of these women, they've already waited so long for him to be held accountable for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the problem, is that, you know, a lot of these men do use settlements to prevent themselves from going to trial. But then what that flips around and does is it gives people room to be like, well, they just wanted the money because they give no thought to, like, just the emotional turmoil of this entire process for a victim when you do not have a guarantee that you're going to see justice on the other side.
Yeah, and meanwhile, your life has been dragged through the mud.
Yeah, for some of them, their own attorneys may be advising them, like, just take the money.
Take the bread, yeah. You don't want to be on, you know, TMZ or whatever, which a person like to splash all over the internet, you know? I want to mention Gabrielle Union, who was fired from America's Got Talent last week, right? Last week? Week and a half ago?
It's been 2 weeks ago.
Well, maybe 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. For according to them being difficult, and they also complained about her hairstyles were too black, and viewers were not liking.
Changed too much.
Yeah,
but because we should mention there was another. Oh, what's her name? She used to be on Dancing with the Stars, but there was another female host, a white female.
Juliana Huff.
Yeah, Juliana Huff was let go too. And
yes.
Juliana Huff also used to get the same notes on her hair and stuff. And Juliana Huff is white as white. So part of this was about, part of this might have been racial, but a lot of it seems more like it was sexist and about Simon, the way Simon runs the show.
That's exactly
and
what it is.
Not wanting anybody to, like, ruffle feathers at all. And Gabrielle was raising points and actually escalating things often, not just about race, like in the case of some talent that was coming on the show.
Jay Leno came on and told like a racist joke about the Korean person.
But also about like real inclusivity, about like checking to see how, what kind of pronouns talent used, about asking, you know what I mean? Just various things that she was really like walking the whole, like if you're going to talk about real inclusion and you're going to talk about real like diversity, she was really walking the walk, and it was pissing Simon off. And aside from that, Simon apparently smokes in the studio all day, every day.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. And she was complaining about that. And everybody else was kind of telling her, oh, he just has to do it. And she was like, the fuck? You know what I mean? So it seemed like with her and Juliana both, the bigger, it wasn't just like Gabby got fired for being a Black woman, but it was more like Gabrielle and Juliana Huff wouldn't play along with Simon.
Yeah.
And were causing too many problems. So they got let go.
And also, so apparently she had a meeting fairly recently with the brass at NBC. She tweeted about it. She said it lasted 5 hours. They went through a lot of things. I don't know that, you know, what that's going to result in, but she definitely was sat with them and really, you know, obviously made a point to the, you know, if they had a 5 hour meeting, that means that there was some real shit being discussed and they weren't sitting there goofing around. So,
well, yeah, cause they couldn't really, they tried to say that, you know, that America's Got Talent rotates hosts out frequently, whatever. But what people have pointed out is that now, because real-time TV ratings are so different, part of the contract is about how much social awareness you can bring to the show. And Gabby had more impressions in regards to the show than like everybody else on the show combined.
Yeah, she had like 25 million impressions or something crazy. Yeah,
so
yeah.
They couldn't really say she didn't perform. Like, she was giving the show really his biggest look, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that. And, you know, Nick Cannon famously had his own issues with America's Got Talent.
Yep.
And chose to separate from the show under the same kind of thing. Like, they're too controlling, they're too white bread, whatever. But what made me really happy about it was to see that Gabby really is this person for real. You know what I mean? Like, she's the person who's going to say, hey guys, I'm really worried about what the rest of the staff will think of this. I'm really worried about like the crew on the show. I'm really worried about like how our audience will feel about this. Let me talk to this performer. As like that she is really that person who like actually is trying to live these things even in places we can't see.
Yeah. She's not just like, I'm getting my check. So like, I'm a chill right now.
Right. I'm going to tweet a hashtag.
Yeah, so we'll kind of keep an eye on to see where it goes. I was wondering, does she still get paid out whatever her contract is?
Well, they're gonna have to pay you out, but they don't have to renew you.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, that's any business, right? Like you let the contract run out, you don't have to worry about dealing with, you know, mediators for termination and arbitrators and all sorts of other shit. You know what I'm saying? You just let the contract run out, you don't renew it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Bro, I want to end the show. I want to know if you want to take the thing about Jersey City.
I can.
Yeah.
So Jersey City had I don't know if we can say mass shooting or multiple shooting, actually happened today. So this is still kind of developing. Several people were killed at a Amish market in a Jewish neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Of the people that were killed, two of them are suspects. I can't remember the guy's name. It's a man and a woman, 47 and 50 years old. And the cop was killed today. He was also, it's kind of weird. Again, so it's still developing. So what it says is that this group was in, these two people, I should say, are also tied to the Black Israelites.
Yeah, the Black Israelites.
Hebrew Israelites. So these two were in a U-Haul van. The U-Haul van, reportedly, as per the article I read in the police, was suspected in a homicide the night before. The cop, who is apparently a decorated detective who's been very vital with getting guns off the street, I guess approached this van and was killed.
Wow.
They then took off, you know, they get into this market, which is now being said to be targeted.
Because of a kosher market.
Well, yes, they had they found that this particular person reportedly has anti-Semitic and anti-police rhetoric that he's posted. Mm-hmm. So they go in and basically get into a shootout with police. If you can see the scene, it was pretty, you know, it looked like a television show. There were a lot of militarized
vehicles. Walking like right down the middle of Jersey City.
Very surprised for Jersey City.
Yeah.
Because it's not a big, you know, it's not a big city. I would expect that maybe in Newark. I definitely didn't expect that in Jersey City. But anyway, they go in. So this, I believe at this point there's six people dead, two of which are the suspects, one police officer, and it appears three innocent people whose names I don't think have been released yet. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we are, and this is developing. But we all have kind of made jokes about the Black Hebrew Israelites, you know, in terms of their behavior. And by and large, I mean, they're actually listed as a hate group by the
Southern
Poverty Law. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm not mad at
that. Say that again.
I'm actually not mad at that because they're kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't think that they, you know, I don't think they're being, you know,
persecuted
here for that. But what I will say is that I've seen them do a lot of things on the street. I've never actually seen them be violent. I'm not saying that they haven't had personal violence or anything like that, but I've never actually seen them commit
like jump on somebody.
I've seen them on the streets for years in New York City.
They've been around for ages.
So I mean this is obviously going to change right now. There's a dead cop. This looks like who was actually a married father of five.
Mm-hmm.
There are innocent people killed. One of the things I read, they were saying that this particular area was traditionally a Black neighborhood, a mm-hmm. Black section. And for those of you who don't know, Jersey City is literally at the tip of New Jersey. So what happens, it's basically like the moment you come out of the tunnel, downtown, you're in Jersey City, and it's wildly segregated.
Either like Superfly and gentrified and, you know, cafes or whatever, or it's like
it's like Harlem, like uptown, like maybe 2005.
Yeah, exactly.
So like it's kind of popping with the brownstones, but it's still.
But if you go a couple blocks over,
So there's a lot of that happening. So apparently there has been an influx of Hasidic Jews coming into that area.
Mm.
They're roughly, I think it's a small number. I think they said it was roughly about 100 or so that have moved from Williamsburg.
Mm.
that are moving into Jersey City, and it was intimated in what I read that there might have been some sort of conflict,
some friction beginning to simmer,
and that could very well be them trying to justify what happened at that market. I this is all new, it's still all developing, so I say that as I take it with a little bit, like a grain of salt.
I'm kind of bugging, honestly, that they didn't get killed.
Who didn't get killed?
I thought that the David and Francine, are they alive or are they dead?
No, they're dead.
Oh, I thought they was, okay, because they call them suspects. So I thought they were still alive.
No, they're saying the suspects because, again, this happened this morning. So they're still canvassing surveillance. You know what I'm saying? Okay. They're still okay. Can they call them they have to prove that before you can just, you know, people have families. You can't just sign someone's name with a murder. You don't know who was in that shootout just yet till you get that footage from the market. But they're the suspects in this.
Yeah. 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 So it's an ongoing thing, and we'll kind of, you know, keep an eye on it, because like Sean said, it just happened today. So it's gonna, I'm sure there's gonna be a lot more information that comes out, you know, about what this is really about.
Wait, that wasn't yesterday?
I think it was today.
It was yesterday.
This morning.
It was this morning?
It was this morning. Yeah. It was today. Oh. Yeah, because I remember they were walking and it was snowing.
Okay.
It was snowing this morning a little bit. So, yeah. So. Yeah, so that's it, man. We're going to wrap it up. Like you said, we got one last show, which we'll send to y'all next week. And we're going to shut it down for the holiday season. Yeah, but until then, I guess, you know, be safe out here. Don't spend too much money. Enjoy your holiday parties for those of y'all, you know, going to those. Don't get too drunk and rub up on the receptionist.
Yeah, man. We got our holiday party the 17th out in L.A., so...
Yeah, so be careful. Be careful, y'all. Don't be getting too drunk and pushing up on old girl in HR.
I am HR, so I'm beyond it, nigga.
Exactly. I'll be watching all you clients.
Sit down with your hands folded.
You think you're going to be like Jeff Clark with a megaphone.
Exactly.
Holiday party.
Fuck around. I might have to come in here with a flashlight.
Exactly. What y'all doing back there? You know what I'm saying? Shit. So that's it. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
Later.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.